Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Pensacola, Florida, it's time for Pensacola Business Radio. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Good morning, Keith over here, broadcasting from this rainy day over here at DeVille Square with Business Radio. I'm here with three special guests today. I've got Mr. Randy from Versailles. Good morning.
Good morning, Keith. How are you this morning?
I am fantastic. I've got Betty over here who, by the time I leave, is going to try to get some blood from me.
Absolutely.
Like Bloody Betty.
I know. That's right.
Oh, no. I'd rather be a vampire.
It started already. And then I have Annie Dyke from... Have Wind Will Travel, Keys to the Kingdom, Salt of the Sail. I mean, which one do you want to go with today?
Places.
So, well, welcome. Thank you all for coming this morning and making it here safe. So, Randy, I have a piece of Versailles in my life because I was there when it was the actual restaurant and stuff. But you have completely changed the inside and gone with a whole new way of operating that thing, right?
Yes, actually, we have, Keith. Beginning March of this year, we spent about $150,000 in 8 months retrofitting the building. Outside painting, new parking lot, furniture, art pieces, et cetera. So we've opened a 9,000-square-foot banquet event center.
Yeah, that's huge.
Which has gone very well. Yeah, it is huge. And actually, within the confines of that, we've got room to open a restaurant,
yeah,
which we've targeted for March. And it'll be a Mediterranean bistro.
Very cool.
Restaurant. So we're kind of excited about what's happening.
Yeah, so sort of an afternoon kind of. Just cocktail-y tapa, that
yeah,
kind of thing?
You know, we think there's a niche out there we're trying to develop, and that is that, you know, having spent 33 years managing private country clubs, that market, by and large, is folks who are relatively affluent, who don't want to drive across town and have a martini and drive back home.
Sure.
They don't want to eat late. They don't want to eat big. So the restaurant's looking to have a 4 to 8 p.m. opening.
Yeah.
You know, get a good price, for a decent drink and have small plate dinners. And
yeah.
By 8 o'clock in the evening, lock the doors, send them home, send the staff home. And
well, and you're right. You guys are right on the edge of the, I guess what we would call the West Side, which is now just starting to really get redeveloped and work it out. So you got your foot in the door at the right time.
It really is. It's amazing the growth that's coming to the West Side.
Yeah.
I think we're well positioned.
So, okay. So 30 years in the banquet and country club business, you retire and then you just said, oh, what? I got bored. Let me go do this again or what?
I retired for about 2 years and I started working on the golf game that I didn't have time to develop when I was in the business.
Yeah.
And after 2 years, I hadn't improved one iota.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, and I got a call from one of my former members who's still a member of the country club. Skip Hunter, who owns the building, and said, it's been on the market for 2 years. I haven't gotten a nibble. I'm paying utilities and property taxes and insurance. What can we do with it?
Yeah.
So Skip and I spent some time together, developed a business plan, put some numbers to it, and here we are today.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm glad it only took you 2 years to realize your golf wasn't working. It's taking me 37. I still haven't figured it out.
I wanted to ask if you got any worse. You said you didn't improve, but did you hold steady?
You know, I started taking some. I made the mistake. I shouldn't probably talk about this too much on
that's
the
all right.
air. But
go for
taking these online classes in golf, and now instead of having two or three swing thoughts in my head, I had 11.
Yeah,
nice.
And I would. Yeah, it got worse before it got better.
Sometimes the simple is the easiest.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
So. What kind of, I mean, you're doing all kinds of events, but I mean, what have you been doing so far?
Well, a lot of wedding receptions.
Yeah.
We've got a Mardi Gras party coming up in January. We've got a 70th birthday party. Six kids are throwing mom a surprise 70th birthday party for 150 people. We've got a group of 50-year-olds, or they all turned 50 this year. And I think they grew up here together in high school.
Oh, cool.
And said, let's throw ourselves a 50th birthday party. And that's about 300 people.
That's a rager. I hope when I'm 50, I can have 300 people come to my party.
Yeah, you'd be one of 25 having it, I guess. But
yeah,
so all kinds of events.
Okay. So, and you said you're going to do the restaurant, which means you're still in the process of getting all that together. And I know the place has a kitchen, but you're not doing all the food and stuff, right? Like this works sort of as a conglomeration of local businesses, correct?
Yeah, well, obviously with the restaurant, we will be doing all the food. But right now we are opening the hall and folks can bring in their own caterer. So
yeah.
They have their own bar service.
Which is huge,
food,
I think.
Their own linen service, florist. It's sort of an a la carte, bring in whoever you want.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, which I think is really cool because obviously there's enough business out there for everybody. And I think the way that you guys have combined other people to be able to come together and use that facility is it's it's a new way of doing business, and it's a good one, I think. So,
well, it's fun, and what I like about it is at least at this point, I'm working about 15 to 20 hours a week. So
yeah.
Keep it like that. Maybe that golf game will come around one day.
Don't call me. It's going to lose, I promise.
Okay. Glad to know that.
Let's tell people, if they want to use the event, where do they go to? And then if they're a vendor that maybe wants to work with you, where do they go?
Okay. We've got a webpage, and it's Versailles Event Center. And we've got a website, www.versailleseventcenter.com. So
yeah.
They can go either of those and get all the information, look at photos of the place, and get some comments from previous clients and that sort of thing.
Okay. And are you guys down at the event center most days if they just wanted to drive by and check it out? Because you really have to see it. I'll tell you, the pictures don't do it justice.
That's true.
And the place is huge. And I say this because I've personally been in there, so I know. And the stuff you guys have on the wall and all the sort of niche architecture and stuff inside, you really have to see it to experience it.
Yeah, and the answer to your question, Keith, is no, we don't maintain office hours from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. every day because of the nature of the business.
Sure.
You know, I'm there late at night, and I'm there on weekends meeting clients or potential clients and walking through it, everything else. So,
yeah, been there, done that.
As you drive down Barrancas, there's a giant billboard across the street that has an arrow pointing to it and says, here it is. Here's the number. And again, on the website and Facebook page, you can get the information.
Very cool. Okay, so you got the restaurant coming up. You've got a huge space. What else do you think makes you guys unique?
The architecture. When you walk in, obviously the name Versailles elicits grandeur.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what we've got. We've got King Tut sitting in the entrance foyer. We've got friezes on the walls. We've got a 40-foot mahogany bar with brand new bar stools that I haven't even broken in with a martini yet. I got to still do that.
You call me for that one now. Well, my martini game's good.
You're on
it's way better than the golf. Yeah.
The list is longer than the bar stools I have, so I'll have to refine that a little bit. But so I think it's really unique with it's got some wow factor when you walk in.
Yeah.
And what I really like about the place is you come in the front door and you've got the option of going right or left, and left takes you into this Mediterranean themed restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
Right takes you into the banquet hall, which is fairly generic in the, you know, brides like to introduce colors.
That's all right. That gives you room to decorate.
So it gives us, 150, 160 sit-down event space over there.
Yeah. So, and then I know at one time you talked about sort of expanding some outside patio area stuff. Is that coming as well?
It's actually done. We've got, smokers. I'm not one, but I recognize that smokers are second-class citizens these days, or certainly feel like it. They've got to go outside and hide behind a door and fire up their cigarette.
Or cigar. Which is what comes with a Mediterranean bar.
And with wedding receptions and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So we've actually capitalized on and built a cigar veranda.
Very cool.
With Adirondack chairs and some landscaping, canopy. So they can sit out there and fire up their cigars and be happy and be 50 yards away from the non-smokers, which I think is kind of important.
Oh, you need some water so you can pull up the boat and we can hang out.
Ooh, I love it. Cocktails on the deck.
That's it. All right. Well, Randy, let's tell everybody one more time where they can find you and how they can get a hold of you.
Okay. It's the Facebook page is Versailles Event Center. Website address, www.versailleseventcenter.com. Come on, see us.
Yeah. Go on by. Get it. And then the phone numbers and all that are on the website as well.
They are.
If they want to call you. Okay, and remember, he's not there all the time, so don't necessarily expect him to be.
Yeah, just call him. I'll meet you there.
So, well, cool. Well, Randy, thanks for coming in today and keep hanging out with us for a little while.
Yeah,
Betty's going to try to get some blood from you here. So,
when she pulls out the needle, I'm gone.
Yeah, that's
me
it.
Too. Me too.
Unless you break out martinis, and I might be okay.
We'll all stay.
Okay, so, Betty, talk to us, because I asked if you were bringing the stuff to get blood, and you said, no, you're just the one that talks to us about it.
I'm just the one that talks to you.
So make it happen.
Okay, well, thank you very much for having me. But I'm representing One Blood as their media manager. And I'd like to say that One Blood is the community blood center for our area. We've got over 60 years of collecting blood. Why do we do it? And who does it go to? It goes to the area hospitals. If you're in an accident, emergency, you need surgery, a newborn babe, whatever, and you need blood, you can't go to the drugstore and buy it. You can't go to the grocery store and get it. It must come from a volunteer blood donor. So we're out and about on our big red buses.
Yeah.
Are at our two centers, and we want to see you.
And I always thought the cool thing was is you got something to eat when you were done. So
We still
it's like free
that.
Lunch, right? It's like free lunch. I mean, you know, you give a little, take a little.
Exactly. Just give a little, and we've got plenty of refreshments, got a great staff, and we'd love to see you. We're always in need of blood, particularly O negative, which is the universal blood type. And that means any of us that immediately get ill and have to go to the emergency room and need blood, we need it. But there's only 7% of the population in the country that has O negative. So once you come see us and we've got your number, you're one of our best friends.
Yeah. So, and you guys have cool t-shirts for people that, give more than, I say this because I have a friend that I play some music with, and every year when you guys come around, he gets me some new t-shirt because he's given like, I don't know, 50 gallons of blood over like the last 20 years or something. So, which I just thought was cool, but I'm waiting for him to just like pass out on me one day.
Well, we have some that have their wardrobe of blood center t-shirts, plus, we have people that make quilts out of them, so they are useful, but when we don't have them, we also have promotional gifts for right now. We're moving into the 12 days of giving, where at some of our locations we have $10 gift cards and also movie tickets.
Yeah. And so you got motivation.
Oh, listen here. Yeah. We thank you very much for your time. And we hope to see everybody because the holiday season, we have a lot of people that leave paradise here with us and go away, and they're our regular blood donors.
Yeah.
So if you're here and you got a few minutes, give the gift of life to somebody in our hospitals.
So who can donate?
Well, you must be 16, weigh 110 pounds, but you've got to have parental consent, be in good health, and present a picture ID.
Yeah.
And we do a wellness check. We do a blood pressure, your iron, your pulse, your temperature, and then give you a cholesterol screening. We're regulated by the FDA. And then we've also, once you sit there and that needle just slips in, you look at the phlebotomist and she or he smiles.
I like
smiles.
The way she softens that.
I know. And in a smile, I might even come out and talk to you if you say, where's Betty? And it'll be over in a flash. And just think about it. You may be someone that's saving three lives.
So 110 pounds is a cutoff, huh?
Yeah, that's the start. There's no upper age limit. And as far as weight, as long as you're in good health, if you got 110 pounds, we'd like to talk to you.
Yeah, I didn't even think about there being a weight limit. I mean, I get it, but I didn't even think about that. So
I was thinking about the martini. Like, what if you've had a martini before you come?
No, you cannot go in there after drinking.
You'll have to wait until later.
That's right.
Let's celebrate later.
preferably after you've eaten and gotten some blood sugar back, I'm assuming. So.
So you stay upright, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so other than O negative, what, I mean, are there any other types that you guys know you're like super low on?
Right. We're low right now.
On everything.
not everything, but we have to maintain a supply because we hear from the local hospitals from here to Panama City every morning. And when we have an urgent need, it just means that there are a whole bunch of patients in the hospitals that all need that particular blood type. But right now, O negative, B negative, A negative, not to be too negative, but we also need platelets. And a platelet donor must come to one of our centers, and we have one located at 2209 North 9th Avenue, 9th and Maxwell, and then also 1999 East 9 Mile Road.
So how do they do that? Is that the one where they put it in the centrifuge thing or whatever?
Well, they actually...
It takes it out, spins it, and then puts it back?
Well, not that particular one. We have a particularly, this is an automated donation called, you know, it's a platelet machine.
Uh-huh.
And it just takes only platelets and it returns red blood cells and plasma back to you. We have another automatic filtration that only takes red blood cells. When you give a pint of blood, you're giving one pint, you're going to have red blood cells, plasma, and platelets.
Uh-huh.
And your whatever's wrong with you, you may just need platelets or you may need plasma or red blood cells. So what we do is that we separate it. We put it in that centrifuge. Mm-hmm. And when you spin it around, you can stream off the platelets, the red blood cells, and the plasma.
That's amazing.
And they're all separated. And then they process, test it. Everything is tested. We have about 14 different tests.
Mm-hmm.
And our big deal is to provide you with the safest blood possible so that someone who is really ill doesn't have anything else to cope with. They just need to get over what's going on, get some more blood in, and have life again.
Yay. So tell me about the big red buses, because that's how I knew you guys. And actually, that was how I got the number, I think, in the email, and then that's how I ended up getting in touch with you. So obviously, they're a huge, iconic thing here in town.
Well, of course, that's our marketing and our branding plan, the big red bus, and you once you see them, but it's just like the donor center room. You go on board, you do your health history.
Yep.
You have the wellness check, you get a cholesterol screening, and then you go give blood. And we generally take the pint of blood there. We do have some portable red blood cells machines on board that you can only give the red blood cells. And all that does is that speeds, that gets those more available quicker to the person who needs blood or blood transfusion in the hospital. We have several people in our area, and I don't mean just several, many, many people, whom every month they need to have a blood transfusion.
Yeah.
We've got some stories on our website, onebloood.org, and we're featuring our little girl right this month called Katie. She lives in Crestview, and her grandmother contacted and said, I have my granddaughter because the blood donors in the area gave blood, and I wanted to thank them. So we went over, took the TV crew with
us.
Yeah,
cool.
And did a video, and once you see a picture of Katie, you might be inclined, if you've never decided to give blood.
Well,
she is just a doll.
You get to really see the face of the people that you're helping, too, which is
exactly
cool. So how do the red buses work? Because I see them everywhere.
Oh, we would love to have a blood drive. Anybody that wants to do a blood drive, get us about 20 people and we will come. All you need to do is call us. We have a community representative that will do all the walking for you. We'll be sending out email blasts. We'll do flyers. We'll do postcards. And if you're at like a strip mall, for example, and let's say you only have 10 employees, but let's say across the street's another business and there are five, and maybe down the road there's another business. So we'll coordinate that so that we are cost efficient, you know, in what we're doing.
So Randy's writing it down, and I'm thinking too, because there's probably at least 20 people in this building. And I know we've got Five Sisters next door. We've got Blue Dot. There might be enough here for you. We might be able to have the big red bus hang out.
This might be a happening. It might really be a happening. And I'd love to come to Versailles again. So I thought it was lovely when I went time before, but it would be really good. And we plan on blood drives. Some companies and schools, universities do blood drives with us about five times a year.
Yeah.
And so we plan those out, but there's
no
substitute.
Do them at the hospitals too, correct?
We do them at the hospitals. There's always a need, because as I said, there is no substitute, and blood only lasts a certain number of days. However, we don't have that much blood on the shelf that we're worried about that. It comes in, it's tested, it's processed,
and
it goes
out
the door, pretty quickly.
So what's next for you guys? I mean, you got the big red buses, you got the centers. You just need people.
I just need people. Nice, wonderful people. And you can call us, and we also need some stories, because according to the FDA and the HIPAA, we don't know who's getting the blood.
Right.
And so if you give us a call or you go on the website, you can share your story, because it does mean a lot when someone comes in and said, and I have a lot of people that come in, they'll say, thank you for what you're doing. And I'm saying, well, why? This is fun for me. It's a wonderful opportunity. And they say, well, if you didn't do this, I wouldn't be here.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of people that are fighting cancer. The cancer may be decreasing the red blood cells or the platelets or whatever. And to get over that and to get into remission and hopefully cancer free, they need replacement of the various blood components. So you're a lifesaver when you're donating blood. So it's a happy place. It's a gift. It just takes your time, and we will feed you a little snack and give you a T-shirt or a gift card or a movie voucher. That's generally our gifts, and we love to see you.
I'll take all three. But I can only give you one pint, right? You can only do one at a time,
yes.
Right?
Yes. Well, yes. I would say for you, maybe
even
more.
Even if you're more than 110 pounds?
That's right. That's right. That's right. And you can donate every 56 days.
Okay.
And you're good to go.
Yeah.
And you can donate platelets every 2 weeks. That platelet donation takes about 2 hours.
Uh-huh.
And thank goodness for all the lovely people in our area that take the time.
Yeah.
And generally, if you talk to a blood donor and you say why, it's many, many times it's somebody in the family or a friend of theirs that needed blood, and they lived through everything, and they say, well, I can do this now, because the most horrible thing in the world would be in the hospital, need blood, and there's not any.
Yeah.
And we're a large organization now. We did change our name from Northwest Florida Blood Services to One Blood. We're getting blood to about over 200 hospitals from here to Miami, Orlando, St. Petersburg, and South Georgia. And if there were like let's say an emergency weather condition or whatever, and we have had some of those, we do have we don't want to have any. We've got lovely weather
don't
now.
Don't put that out there.
But if we should, and the blood mobiles here can't get out, ice on the ground or too much water or whatever, we can get some of our sister blood centers to send it in. So just need the people.
That's it.
I'm curious, how do people find out that they receive blood from one blood, people in the hospital, or how do they know?
How do they know?
Well,
so they can share the story with you.
All of it comes from that. Well, I mean, I'm assuming most of it.
If you go to one of our local hospitals, like, for example, Baptist Hospital, we have a contract. We are the primary supplier of blood to Baptist Hospital, West Florida Hospital, so you know it's going to come from us. Now, there are other blood centers in the United States. It's kind of half and half. Half of the community blood centers are with the Red Cross. The other half are community blood centers like we are, with various names. But we're the local blood center, and that's our mission, is to collect blood, do blood drives from here through Panama City.
That's great.
So tell everybody again where the website is.
Okay, the website, and got lots of good stuff on there.
Yeah.
www.oneblood.org. Two centers, 9th and Maxwell Street, 1999 East 9 Mile Road, across from Baptist Medical Park. And the website, O-N-E-B-L-O-O-D, will tell you everything you need to know. We'd love to see you. Great staff. And you are giving someone the gift of life. And that's a good Christmas present for a lot of people.
And you're hanging out down there at the centers too, right? So they want to ask for Betty, they can get you to hang out.
They can find me.
Okay.
Yeah. Right now, I'm the only person named Betty. I did work at West Florida Hospital one time, and I think when they called on the PA system, everybody was named Betty. So I thought, ooh,
This
is good.
Yeah. Well, very cool. Okay, so go donate blood. You guys need it. Let's get people out there.
Right.
I think between whatever notes Randy just wrote down over there and things in my head, I seriously could see a big red truck out here.
Well, we'd
shortly.
Love to be here. And
so,
we'll come prepared with some wonderful T-shirt.
Very cool. Well, thanks for coming in this morning.
Well, thank
Hang
you.
Out for a little while. We're going to hear about Annie's adventures over here.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, Annie, I got to tell you, the title was awesome because I completely have some form of relation to it. So Keys to the Kingdom, not even the lawyer part, but the rising young lawyer who found the key by losing the lock. I get that.
Yeah.
Because I think that's part of how I ended up here.
Yeah.
And I've watched so many other people sort of have that transition in their life. So for those that can't see it or haven't seen it yet, she's hanging from the mast of this massive sailboat and looking up. So talk about it.
Yeah, the cover shot is actually kind of tells the story of the book, which was a fun idea. It's my transition from being a lawyer and practicing and actually the whole, I kind of call it the America vision. You know, everybody wants to get a degree and get a big house and get a salary. And that's good for some people, but that's not good for everybody.
Sure.
And it certainly just, it took me a long time to discover, but it wasn't good for me. I had to just sort of break free and all of that stuff. And I called it this prison. You're like, oh, I'm breaking out of prison. It's kind of the joke. But that's what it can feel that way, you know, if you're trapped every day and living a life you don't want to live. So the message of the book is to, you know, if you feel like you need a change, whatever that is. For me, it was to leave everything behind and get on a boat and sail. And I know that's pretty drastic, but from some, it may be I need a job change. I need a scenery change. I need a different situation. So I hope to motivate people just to do whatever they feel is right for them.
Yeah.
The book cover, yes, I am climbing a mast. And the joke is that I have the lawyer jacket on because I used to be a lawyer, and underneath is the bikini, and I'm wearing the pearls. So I'm kind of making the transition from one to the other. And it was actually a lot of fun doing that photo shoot. Is at a local anchorage here at Fort McRae, where we go all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And there's about 8 or 9 boats out there. They had no clue what I was doing.
Yeah, so like, what is up with
They're
that
watching
chick?
Me, and I have heels on. You can't see it in the book cover, but I'm wearing heels, and I'm going up the mast, you know, and everybody's coming out of the woodworks, like, watching me and taking pictures, which was awesome because I had a lot of great footage to make a movie trailer kind of for the book, which I did. So
very cool. Okay, so
well.
You said it, though. You said I used to be a lawyer, but you're really still a lawyer.
I do. I have a degree. It's I'm lucky that in Alabama I can put it sort of on inactive, so I don't have to do my annual CLEs because those can be kind of costly and boring.
And very hard to do from a sailboat in the middle of the ocean.
Exactly, or at least hard to pay attention to.
Yeah.
So I'm lucky in that I can do that, and when I want to reactivate, I don't have to take the bar again. That's not the case in Florida, knock on wood.
So
it's waiting for me whenever I want to go back to it.
Well, and or you know, it's there when you need it.
Mm-hmm.
But then there's some legal things that come to doing the stuff that you're doing anyway. So you kind of set yourself up for success, whether you realize it or not.
I don't. What, did I? You're
well,
good.
I mean,
That's
I
great.
Think so. I mean, you've got contracts, and you're going to have copyright stuff and all that, you know. And those are lawyer things. I think. I hope. You probably should get a lawyer if you're dealing with those things. So you know. All right. So was it messy? Was the transition messy?
Very much so.
Yeah. And I think that's one of the cool things that you share here is that it can be messy, But if you do it, you do it. And who cares sort of how it was done, right?
Yeah. And it's scary. I mean, you're tearing down everything that once stood that was comfortable. And that's kind of where I start, in that it is like you break out of a prison cell because you're comfortable. A lot of people, it's that whole Shawshank Redemption syndrome. Yeah. You're secure there. You know what's going to happen tomorrow. You know what's going to happen the next day. And so it's hard to break away from that satisfaction of that serenity and security. And when you tear it all down, it's a big mess and you have no idea how you're going to build it back, what you're going to do, how you're going to make money. That really scared me initially because I just didn't know how I was going to do it. But it's amazing how you just fall into it and you figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, and you find something to do and it works. As long as you're creative and motivated, you know, you're going to find something that works for you. But it's hard if you don't see it when you first break out.
And you may not see it when you break out. I've known plenty of people it's taken a little while. I mean, Randy over here retired for 2 years and then said, yeah, you know, maybe we should do something different. So,
and decided to come back. And it started a lot with me with marketing. And I tried several things, and you have to fail at things and you have to understand that's okay and keep trying. I do marketing for a couple of clients, as you, Betty, and Randy were talking. My mind's like rolling over here about how to promote Versailles and, oh, you should do videos and do a Facebook virtual tour. And same for you, like on the buses, as I do a lot of marketing for people, because I think that's important. A lot of people have great ideas, great companies they want to get going. It's just getting the word out can be hard. And
yeah.
It can be daunting.
I'm thinking the Versailles cocktail cruise, me.
I like
we have
this.
Some energy there.
I
we have
like
to work
this.
On that.
You see? Throw a couple ideas, people in the room. You come up with
before
really
you
things.
Start drinking, give some blood. You know?
Exactly.
That's right.
And then your treat is the cruise with the martini.
See?
Sounds good.
Synergy.
Good.
Okay, so, but you said it. You said marketing. So what did you do different with this book? I already know the answer to this question. But,
everything.
But yeah, so... Let's, for those that didn't hear your first interview when we talked about the first book, walk through the processes of the differences.
Sure. I'm self-published, so that's definitely a road that if you've never been down it before, it's a lot of learning and a lot of mistakes to be made. And I love to talk about that. So anybody who wants to email
she's
me.
She's going to write a book about it.
And maybe I should. I've done an article on it that I really do enjoy. I wrote it for another blog, but it was called Market First, Write Second, which sounds sort of counterintuitive. But what I've learned, and I've just read a lot and from doing it and making all the mistakes, is if you get everybody involved in your process, like as you're going along, here's the book I'm writing, here's some ideas I have, here's a cover shot, what do you think of this? People sort of get invested in your journey from not having a book yet to producing a book. And then everybody's on board. And so for my first book, Salt of a Sailor, I did not do that. I just wrote it and I published it and it was out there. And then I tried to tell people, hey, go get a book. I've got a book out there. And nobody knows who I am, what I've been doing, what my story is. So for this one, everybody was along for the entire journey, like once I started writing until I finished. So a lot of my followers feel like they've invested. It's almost like a stock, you know, like they've had some say in every little part. A lot of them read it beforehand. That was an idea I had that I sent out a lot of early copies and people did reviews and came back to me. And so this time it was like launch day. It was planned like a month out. And I mean, every day, I'm surprised nobody got sick of me, but it was like 12 days out. What a free book giveaway. 11 days out. Here's me on the mask. 10 days out. I mean, it was on and on and on. And I was kind of exhausted by the end of it. But when launch day hit, I think it sold like over 50 that day, which blew my mind.
Sure.
That was really exciting. So learning that process, sort of how to do that and how to do that a better way, was definitely, I think, a good skill to have that I can share with other people that want to write and self-publish and use for myself for future books.
Well, and I think one of the things that I know was easy for me to relate to was you almost got, my heart would go out for you because I'd see the times when you're taking the selfie in the car with the rough script and it's like, okay, here, I'm trying. And then you had the friend that was like, look, I'm taking your cell phones. I'm turning everything off. You can't come out of here until you finish these last, whatever it was, 5 chapters. And then watching you go through all that and you're like, okay, I can really start relating to you as a human. You know what I mean? And as a person. So watching you go through that for me was fun.
Thanks. You took pleasure in that.
Well, yeah, because,
no, that's
because
what you're
as a previous chef and as somebody who has come from the creative realm, I know how hard that is, whether it's art, music, whatever it is that you're doing, business and all that, that point where you sort of pour your heart into something, that's a process.
It is.
And when I watch other people go through some of the same pain I went through, it's like, yes, you're not alone.
Yeah,
you know?
It's so true.
It sort of justifies all of that madness that happens sometimes. At the same time, though, you were building the Have Wind Will Travel.
Definitely. Yeah.
So let's tell people about that because that's your brand.
And thank you. I love that you say that. You're like,
I said it last time. That's it.
I don't know that was my intent when I started, but I think we're here now and it just keeps growing. It's a really, really fun thing. I started, it was just a blog, which that's almost like having a little dog. It's just trendy these days. Every sailor cruiser has a blog, which is a great thing. Everybody, it's free platform. Everybody sure. can share. So I started that when we first got our boat, 2013. And I mean, it starts from my very first sail absolutely on a boat ever.
Yeah.
And it starts there, and I just started writing it. And the blog was a good thing because it helped me find my voice. Like, I thought I kind of had to write lofty fiction or legal practitioner guides. And then I started writing this blog where it's just like me talking, just writing as if I was telling a story. And people seemed to latch on to that. And I didn't know I could write that way, that it was allowed, that I could break grammar rules and just kind of do it however I wanted to do it. And so that was fun. When I found that, I was like, okay, now I'm going to try to write a book. And that evolved into Salt of a Sailor. But now the blog has, so there's several books on there you can buy. We started a YouTube channel, I think back in August, which talk about a learning experience.
Yeah.
It's
technology is a whole weird, different side of it.
It is. And I can rarely be unplugged because I never know what's going to come out of my mouth. I get really nervous being right here. But but it's funny because your audience will tell you really quickly what they do not like. Like they are instantly. And it's funny because I'm like, how much work went into that video? And I get like thumbs down and stuff. And I'm like, are you making a YouTube channel? Like, what are you doing, Mr. Thumbs Down
on
the couch?
You know what? Okay? You opened yourself up for it.
But you do. And so that's fine. So I learned, you know, sort of what they want to see and what they want from that. So there's the videos. There's the books, and I also there's Patreon, so we have a Patreon page, and I post now 3 times a week, which I used to just be once a week. So it keeps me busy. Certainly, it's a lot of content to put out there, but that's sort of what I've learned. People get free stuff on the internet from everywhere else. They expect free, they want free, and they need that content to start following you and start giving back.
And it's all stuff you guys are doing every day anyway. Mm-hmm. I mean, let's face it, some of it's not as romantic as you want to think. I mean, no. Some of it's you guys honestly just working on the boat or the things that have to happen in order for you to go out just into the bay for the day.
Yeah. And that's the kind of stuff I want to share. Like, I want people to know that it's not this lofty dream, you know, where it's cocktails and sunsets. It's not. It's a lot of work. But in that way, like we were talking before the show began, you want to be challenged. Like, you want, and I don't want every day to be just greasy and, you know, horrible and hard. But those days make me appreciate days where we're just
Where you're just cruising.
And it's, yeah, and it is cocktails
quiet,
and sunsets.
Dolphins by the boat.
And you enjoy that so much more. Like just recently, and it's on the videos coming up, but we pulled the mast of the boat, like off the boat. And that really freaked me out. But how much work went into disassembling all that? It was like a 2-day process.
Sure.
All day out there taking apart stuff. And it's going to be a month long process getting it back in. And that's, you know, that's, I kind of dread it, even me. And I love this lifestyle. But when we get that mast back up and we sail again the first time, it's going to feel 10 times better.
So what do they do? They have to repair wherever the mast sits. I'm sure it takes a lot of pressure and tension and all that stuff, right? So they're going to fix all that. And then what do they do to the mast?
Well, and actually where the mast sits, we found rot, like a huge amount of rot. So we're going to have to cut that out and redo all that. And we didn't know that was occurring. So that's kind of scary to look down there and be like, oh my gosh.
It's like opening the hood of your car. Oh, man.
And this 50-foot stick that like holds us up, you know, it's sitting on a rotten bed. Like it could have fallen over at any point, which is really frightening. But we found it.
Especially since you're hanging from it with silks or whatever, ropes and pearls,
you know,
and high heels.
I think that's funny because people always mention, well, you're hanging from it. Like I weigh more than the sail.
Well,
like,
you know, and so I said that last time and you said, you know, it didn't occur to me. And no, you did. You probably just meet the 110 mark here. But you're right. You're hanging from the silks. And I'm thinking, isn't that dangerous? But then you said it. You're like, those sails put on like 15,000 pounds of pressure.
I know.
Like, hey, Andy's going to be okay. Even
like,
if it is rotten out.
Insulting. But a lot of people say that. They're like, man, isn't that rough on the rigging? And I'm like, do you understand like what 30 knots of wind feels like? But maybe people think I'm a lot heavier than I am.
Well, you know, we don't always sail, so.
But the mast we pulled it off, so we're going to have to fix all. It had leaks in it, so it had leaks coming down in the mast that were, you know, rotting the core down there.
Yeah.
So we have to fix all the leaks, and we're redoing all the rigging. So all of the shrouds and stays that hold up the mast, we're replacing all those. And it's going to be a big, expensive process, but we're excited because we're planning to head out south next season. So we need to get all this done, get our finances back in order, and then get going south.
Okay, so there's two questions I got for you. Number one, where are you going? Because I know I've saw the maps on the pictures and stuff. So, and then two, how do you make money from the middle of the ocean?
So those are the two things I asked myself when I wanted to leave the law practice. I was like, where am I going to go and how am I going to make money?
Yeah.
We hope to, and Philip, my boyfriend, the captain, always says, don't give specifics, which I understand because plans change. You never know.
Sure.
But there's a video out there, so it's done. But south, definitely, we hope to make it to Cuba, which a lot of cruisers now
I think that's so cool.
Want to go and see
it. I want to go see it so bad.
And we've had friends of ours that are on a circumnavigation right now, and they saw it about 8 months ago, like before you could even really get in, and they got in kind of as journalists via their blog. and really saw it. I mean, and it's fantastic pictures.
Like, so the food alone, I'm dying.
And the
to go
cigars,
to
if you're a cigar person, I mean.
Yeah, I'm more for the food.
But we want to go to Cuba, Isla Mujeres, background to the Keys, because the Keys to the Kingdom book is our passage to the Keys in 2014. But we only got to spend a few days in Key West, and we kind of had to head back. That was about a two-month passage.
Yeah.
So we'd love to spend a lot more time there and then eventually end up in the Bahamas. And that's this coming year, 2016. I mean, if I find a way to make even more money from the middle of the bay, then we're going to go further and hopefully eventually live aboard and travel as far and as long as we can. But making money has been interesting. It's I have an internet startup company. I do marketing, like with Randy and Betty, a lot of things they've been saying. A lot of companies like that I help, and I handle their Facebook. I handle their constant contact. And all that's done via email. Like, that's how I work. I do the work for them, and then I send them an email invoice, and they pay online. And so that's great. And I'm providing them services that they need and that help their business. So that's a good thing. And then the book sales are growing and growing. The YouTube, as it grows, it gets better too. So it's kind of this big platform I've built that as long as I stir the pot, money kind of trickles in. But it's taken a long time to get here for sure.
So when's the movie coming?
Well, there's a movie trailer for the book.
Yeah.
I did do a In a World Where Eddie Climbed a Mast. It was fun though doing that for sure. But I would if anybody is out there offering a movie deal, AnnieDyke@gmail.com.
There you go. So, okay, I know as an author you can't write the first book without thinking about the second, which means I know you can't write the second without thinking about the third, because I'm sure there was some stuff that you wanted to put in here that maybe you had to pull out because it was too much, right?
Oh, I've already started it. I'm like, I'm seven chapters in.
So are we going to get a little hint here?
Well, and I have to work on the title because the one I came up with, Philip said, was a little risque. And I'm like, me? Risque?
Oh,
climbing
on
a mast in a bikini?
I know, right? Pearls, high heels, and a red bikini.
Yeah.
No, not at all.
I think it's going to be Annie Goes to the Abacos. And it's when I went to the Abacos to do the ricotta last July.
Yeah.
Because I said Annie does Abacos, and I was like, that's funny. People get it that it's a joke. Yeah. And he's like, no, they won't. Annie goes to the Abacos.
And you know, it's funny you mention that, because a lot of times when you get into this creative thing, you think about your circles. And you're like, oh, my circles get me.
They understand it.
But then you have to realize that there's 8 billion other people out there that probably don't think the same way your circles do.
I need help with that. But I'm like, I need to convert them. Part of me wants to convert them. I'm like, they need to get on board.
You need therapy for it, huh? Okay, so what have I missed that you're doing or working on, or where do we need to send people? Buy the book.
Definitely, it's last day at $2.99. So if you're listening to this right now, it's about to go just back to normal price, $5.99. But it was on discount. It launched December 11th, and so it's been on kind of its first week launch high, which is a lot of fun. And everything starts at havewindwilltravel.com. The books, the videos, I do a weekly blog still for free. Everything you want, and my email address. And that's the hub.
Yeah. So next time you come in, we gotta bring your Have Wind film crew.
I need a Have Wind.
You need to have Wind. You need to Have Wind film crew.
Right now, it's me and a selfie stick.
I know. So we can figure something. We'll tape it to the corner or something, or Randy can come back and hold it and bring some martinis.
Yeah, no. If she's wearing that red bikini, I'll be yeah.
So, and then I'm gonna put you on the spot again, because Foodie Life wants to come. I'm telling you, I want to come cook on a sailboat, because
once we get the mask back up, you're the first
because
person
it is not a normal process for anyone.
No.
Yeah. So, okay. So Have Wind Will Travel. Mm-hmm. Pam, let's tell everybody again where we can send everybody to go give some blood.
Okay. 9th and Maxwell Center and 1999 East 9 Mile Road across from Baptist Medical Park. And look for the big red bus. We'll be out and about all over the place. And you can look at the onebloood.org, put your zip code in, and you can find out where we are.
Okay. And then Randy, let's tell everybody again where we can find them. Get them down to Versailles.
And it occurred to me I probably should spell Versailles for some folks. It's V-E-R.
Well, you know, Google usually finished that for you, but go for it.
Veracity. V-E-R-S-A-I-L-L-E-S. Versailles Event Center is the Facebook page, and then VersaillesEventCenter.com on the website.
On the website. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
So I want to thank all of you for coming out and hanging out today. I swear we're going to get a big red bus here.
I can't wait.
So, you guys, you can find us at Pecola Radio X on Twitter. You can find us at our Facebook page at Pensacola Business Radio, or you can find us at our website at pensacola.businessradiox.com. Again, I want to thank all of our guests for coming in today. This has been Pensacola Business Radio, where business is good and your work matters. Mm-hmm.